A change in how the Kenai River is listed is the big story here, and turbidity is the main word.
It's the ability of particulates to basically cloud water to prevent light from penetrating it.
That's Jack Sinclair, Executive Director of the Kenai Watershed Forum. Few organizations have done as much research on the Central Peninsula's most famous river than it has.
And it could be consisting of organic matter, you know, silt, sands, all kinds of different material that are involved in making that happen so that light can't penetrate. And the more turbid, the more cloudy, the less organisms can see, you know, like fish. And it also creates, you know, siltation on the bottom of the river, too, and creates probably a lack of ability for invertebrates to even function very well if it's too cloudy.
That the Kenai River is turbid isn't new. Much of that is natural, both the tidal influence on the river, which is in play for the first several miles, and its glacial feedstock mean it's always going to have some turbidity. The DEC report and new classification open the door for addressing what human causes are contributing to the turbidity issue. Look for a lot of talk in the near future about how many and what kind of boats are appropriate for the Kenai. That's been a kind of sideline debate for years after the various user groups finished talking about allocation. Sinclair says one-of-a-kind studies about boating have already been done here and led to some positive changes.
What kind of boat should we be using? You know, back in late 90s, we started talking about boat wakes and boat wake studies, and that's what was the first boat wake studies were done. And really, that was primarily to find out how can we reduce the impact of powerboats out there on the river. And that was all groundbreaking, national-level studies done by the Corps of Engineers and University of Mississippi coming up here and doing these studies. So we know what kind of impacts are out there from these powerboats. And now we need to find out what more can we implement from those, what we know about those boats.
The goal, of course, is to get the river off the state's list of impaired water bodies. Now, there are a number of ways to get a Category 5 body of water off that list. New and better data that show water quality standards are being met, or a demonstration that the methods used to classify it as impaired were wrong. Or developing a recovery plan and putting mitigation measures in place that bring water quality standards where they need to be. And according to the DEC report, that means reining in the use of powerboats in an 11-mile stretch of the lower river. Sinclair says the problem is more nuanced than just too many boats going too fast. Location and timing play a role, and the type of hull on the boats makes a difference as well. As the discussion moves ahead, changing boat types might not be a popular move, but the draft and volume of those boats might be a starting point.
What kind of boats should we be using? You know, back in late 90s, we started talking about boat wakes and boat wake studies, and that's what was the first boat wake studies were done. And really, that was primarily to find out how can we reduce the impact of powerboats out there on the river. And that was all groundbreaking, national-level studies done by the Corps of Engineers and the University of Mississippi coming up here and doing these studies. So we know what kind of impacts are out there from these powerboats. And now we need to find out what more can we implement from those, what we know about those boats.
Those are big questions, and they'll undoubtedly get lots of debate and discussion as the different user groups and government and non-governmental agencies kick around ideas for how to get the Kenai River back in shape and keep it there. In Kenai, I'm Shaylin Cochran.